Hello, everyone. Today we're reading from Matthew 22, and we're going to start at verse 34, and we're going to go through verse 40. So Matthew 22, 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and prophets." Matthew 22, 34 through 40. So the lawyer asks Jesus a question about which law is the most important. What's the greatest commandment? What's the one commandment we need to know or we need to follow that could let all the others slide? Or maybe the others aren't quite as important. So Jesus understands that the lawyer's intention is not necessarily to look for the commandment that he's looking to fulfill. He's looking for the out. He's looking for the loophole, which, you know, people have looked for loopholes in Christianity forever and ever. In fact, there's several movies based on that. And they look for the loophole. What's the thing that we can get away with? What's the one thing we have to pay attention to so we can let all the others slide? And so Jesus, knowing that that's what the lawyer was asking, and knowing human nature and human sinful nature, that that's what we would ask too, and what we would seek is the loophole. He says, well, first, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love the Lord your God with everything you are, everything you have, everything you do, everything you say, your heart, soul, and mind, how you think, how you act, how you love, how your soul uplifts, all of those things are dedicated to God. Love the Lord your God with everything you are. And Jesus could have left it at that and said, you know, if you love the Lord your God with everything you are, you don't need to worry about the other stuff. And he's absolutely right, because if we loved God with everything we were, our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole mind, everything, all the time, we wouldn't have to worry about anything else, because everything else would fall into place. It's the capstone, it's the hinge that holds all of the whole rest of the arch together. It's the one thing that if you take that piece away, everything else collapses. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. It doesn't fulfill what it's supposed to do. We would collapse as well. And we'd collapse into selfishness and into pride and into arrogance and into everything being about us and the universe revolving around everything that we do or we think. So first, what Jesus does for the lawyer and for us is to direct our attention to the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And if we are honest with ourselves, we realize we don't even do that one. We don't love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. In fact, as sinful human beings living in this world, it's impossible for us to do. It's that goal that, yeah, it sounds great, but it ain't gonna happen. And so Jesus is setting things up for this lawyer and for us to understand that without God himself, we can't possibly love God with all we are. Without Jesus, we can't love God with all we are. Without the Holy Spirit working in us, we can't love God with all we are. We need them. We need him. We need the Holy Spirit. We need Jesus. We need God to fill up all of those places that we're lacking, and even take the places where we have good things and make them perfect. So even our half-hearted worship sometimes, our half-hearted reading of scripture, our half-hearted prayers, you know, when we say that it's half-hearted, well, that goes to show that we are not loving God with our whole heart. And if it's half-hearted, my mind is distracted by other things, so I'm not being completely mindful of my love for God, we know that this falls apart. And as Jesus puts this to the lawyer's got to know. Well, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he thinks he's got that. He's fulfilled that. He loves God with all his heart, soul, and mind. He can't possibly think any other thing. But the realization is that we fail at that. And Jesus, knowing that we'll fail at that, he even adds to it. He says, and there's a second commandment like it, just as important. In fact, they're right there with one another, because if we're doing one, we're doing the other. And so he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And he sort of puts it in those general terms, love your neighbor as yourself. And if we're to think of it in terms of the Ten Commandments, which is the lawyer is asking about the commandments, we look at commandments 1, 2, and 3, and we realize that's about the loving God part. And then 4 through 10 is the loving people part. And so we love our neighbors as ourselves by fulfilling commandments 4 through 10. But if we can't do commandments 1, 2, 3, we can't do 4 through 10. And even if we could keep 4 through 10 perfectly, that still doesn't mean that we're working through 1 through 3. It's impossible for us. And that's where Jesus finds himself in the midst of this discussion with the lawyer, who's trying to find the loophole. It's trying to catch Jesus in a test. Does he know his scripture? Does he know what's really important? And so he answers this question with a challenge, a litmus test for the Pharisees and for this lawyer, and ultimately for us. Are we loving our neighbors as ourselves? Are we loving God with all that we are? And the answer is no, of course not. We have to realize that. We have to admit that. We have to come to that realization that we're not doing it. And we can try and try and try and put the list out there and start checking off the checklist, but we'll fall short every single time. So then we have that option. Once again, we're presented with this option of, well, we can give up. Why bother? Why bother trying to love my neighbor? Why bother trying to love God when I know I can't do it? Or we come to the realization, well, it's God who does it. It's God who does it in me. It's God who does it in you. God is the one who loves. It's God the one, God's the one who loves our neighbor through us. God's the one who loves our neighbor through our actions, through our words. And it's a really interesting way that this works in the life of a Christian. Because as we're loving our neighbor, as we're taking care of his needs, as we are praying for them, as we are meeting them where they need to be met, as we're doing all of the things that we can do to love our neighbor, through that, we're loving God. Not that that action is a way to sort of get in good with God or earn some points with God or something like that. But it's what we do. We love our neighbor as ourself. We love our neighbor and want him to be or her to be taken care of just as much as we want ourselves to be taken care of. We meet the needs of our neighbor just as much, or if not more, than we want our own needs to be met. And through that, the Holy Spirit works in us and through us. And through that, the Holy Spirit strengthens and sanctifies. And through that service of neighbor, we are loving in the way that God would want us to love. And so we can take that and we can come to worship and we can read the scriptures and we can pray the prayers and love God with all that we are, because it's God himself in us. It's the Holy Spirit in us doing it. So fulfilling all that the commandments ask, all that the commandments demand, the Holy Spirit fulfills that. And we see that at work and fulfilled in Christ, in Jesus. So if you want an example of how to love your neighbor, you look to Jesus, right? He's an example of how to love neighbors, how to love people who are like you, how to love people who aren't like you, how to love people who like you, and how to love people who don't like you. Because there are those people who exist. It's really these two things, this loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, loving your neighbor as yourself. It's an incredible picture of God himself at work in us, through us, into the world. And it's God at work in us and through us in response to what he's given us. And it's God at work in Christ, in the world, and then in us. See, it all comes together. It's all one big lump. It's all one big gob of love that we see displayed here. And the challenge then for us, the challenge for you, for me, for maybe just upcoming week, give yourselves a challenge. Look at how you love your neighbor. And I know in our restricted times when we can't necessarily be out there overly active, maybe it's more of how we think about our neighbor. And I don't usually get political, and I'm not going to get overly political, but I do want to say, think about how you think about others. Think about how you perceive others and people like you and people not like you. In particular, people not like you. How do you perceive others? Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? Or are you maybe half-heartedly? Or maybe you're not loving at all. And in this polarized, overly excited world, it's really easy to slip into not loving your neighbor. And that's the challenge for us. Love your neighbor. Through the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, love your neighbor. The ones that are like you and the ones that aren't. Amen.